Manchester City ahead. And Kelly to line this one up. Oh! She has hit an absolute beauty in true Chloe Kelly style.
Shaw in the penalty area awaiting, and sets it in, Ward sees it home. Made a good run, flags it down, shot again. Another dangerous delivery that delivers another goal for Manchester City. And once again, it's Bobby Shaw.
Hello and welcome back to MCW Fancast. I'm Emma, thanks for listening. Join us as we deep dive into the latest results from the WSL and Conti Cup, including the recent Manchester derby. This weekend we're hitting the road to face Tottenham Hotspur, and I'm joined by Dave and Paul to discuss recent performances and preview our upcoming WSL fixture. The big question, can Man City maintain their impressive form into the second half of the season? Let's get straight into it.
Dave, Paul, how are you both doing? So probably overjoyed from last night, probably.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's been a good week. Two great games, two good performances, so over the moon, really.
Yeah, you can't beat a derby win, no matter what context. It's always good to beat your not-so-local rivals.
Let's talk about the United game first, just because obviously we're reeling from that result, and great to finish the group top of the table as well, Dave. How would you reflect on the result?
Yeah, well, obviously we went into the game and we knew we had to win the game. If we won the game, we won the group. So all the other permutations and everything, I was hoping that wasn't going to affect the planning for the game and the team selection. It didn't. We're a strong team. The first half, was a little bit, we were a little bit sluggish at times, I thought, coming out, and they were pressing us quite high and well. Having said that, I still thought we had the better chances in the first half to have taken the lead. I think second half, we took control of the game. We took it by the scruff of the neck, and our quality shone through. And I think in the end, although we won the game, which is what we wanted to do, I thought it was quite a flattering result towards United. I think we should have won by more. So, at the end of the game, I was happy. It was a cup tie that we had to win. We won it, so I was very, very happy.
What about you, Paul? I mean, it felt quite dogged at times.
Yeah, I think what's great about the team at the moment is they stick to the plan. It was an interesting selection from Skinner. He'd obviously, he didn't put his strongest team out for some reason. He thought he was just going to coast through, and events last night with Villa potentially or allegedly feeling an ineligible player might mean they actually go out. But he created a problem for himself, because actually I thought the so-called fringe players, United fringe players, played better last night than they did at Old Trafford. They pressed really hard in the first half. And I think we were saying during the game, they're not going to be able to keep this up. And they didn't. They fell off, and it got quite physical in the end. And I'm amazed that United ended up with 10 players on the pitch, given some of the challenges that were going in. But, from a City point of view, we fielded probably our strongest team, and we played to the plan, and we just kept at it. In the second half, I just thought, as Dave says, much sharper. We were winning all the second balls. We were just moving it out to the wings. Chloe Kelly was terrifying their fullback. Their fullback, every time, we could see it on her face, she was terrified. And Chloe just ran her ragged. So it was a really strong performance and a really professional performance. And I think a performance that maybe last season we wouldn't have got a result in that game, but we just kept at it, scored two really good goals. And as Dave said, 2-1 flatters them, because that last goal, we just, as we do sometimes, we just fell asleep a little bit. So all in all, a very professional performance, and always good to beat the team from Wigan, whenever we can.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite an unnervy start, really. I mean, United played with intent. They were really trying to win the ball and press us quite hard. And it didn't allow us to sort of play our usual game, probably similar to that of Liverpool as well, really. So that first half heading into the break, what were your thoughts, Dave?
I knew we had to step it up, really. I knew we had to, we had discussed it around us, and we thought, like Paul said there, that they wouldn't be able to keep up that press. It's very hard for any team to keep that kind of press going for a full 90 minutes. And we knew, we'd seen flashes in the first half of getting it wide, getting it out to Chloe, getting out to Lauren, that was going to bring joy. It was going to bring chances at the very least. I mean, Bunny missed a very good chance that she'd usually took away. Chloe hit the post when she came in off the wing, and that was just in the first half when we probably weren't at our best. So at half time, I was just thinking, a bit more of that. They're going to tire. So we just keep doing what we're doing. As Paul said before, stick to our plan because we, you know, we know it wins us games. We've seen it many times where we've not been at full pelt, maybe in the first half of the game, and come through in the second and really pushed on and scored because the other team tires as well, which is a natural thing. That, you know, it's very hard to keep a sort of high press like that for 90 minutes. So I was quite confident that, you know, we could turn the screw and win the game coming second half. I think it was very important we hadn't conceded in that first half when we weren't at our best. So that went in our favour. So at halftime, I was still confident we could win the game, and it did pan out that way. So, yeah, and all we had to do was win the game, and the cup tie doesn't actually matter what score you win by. You just need to win, don't you? You get through. And last night was like that. You know, we knew we had to win, and we did.
Chloe Kelly, I thought, was outstanding last night. I mean, she made the most of the fact that the defenders she was up against were struggling with her, but you know, she kept at it. She took the goal really well. When you look at the goal, there's a lot of work to do there. You know, it's not one of those that she's, you know, that's a tap in. She had a lot of work to do, and I think it shows her growing confidence as a player. You know, she's now turning into, you know, we know Lauren's, you know, world class, you know, and I think Chloe's getting to that level now. You know, that she's getting to a very similar level to Lauren. They're so consistent, the pair of them. You know, and the way they play the game in terms of the way they use the ball now, the way they're scoring a lot of goals. I think it was really, you know, she was great last night. And it was a really good team performance overall. I don't think anyone had a bad game. But I do think we as fans need to understand that we've got a plan, that Gareth's got a plan. The players know what the plan is, and they know how to execute it. So they don't panic anymore. They just get on with it. They keep going. And that's what happened last night. You know, United didn't, you know, didn't come and lie down. No one does in the derby. They gave it a proper go. You know, those players came out and gave it a go. And, you know, they had a couple of half chances in the first half. But, you know, we went in, as you say, we didn't concede. And then we managed to, you know, get two good goals. And we were in control until the last 5 minutes, and then it was a bit squeaky bum time, wasn't it? But you know, that's just the nature of football, as Dave says, because you can win 7-6 or, you know, 1-0. It's the result that matters, and the bragging rights that go with it, you know, and it should give us a lot of hope going into the derby at the Etihad that we can get a result there as well, because they did bring on some of their big guns towards the end, and it didn't make much difference. You know, I mean, Ella Toon's been out of form for a while now, and she didn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I was disappointed with some of the physicality that was going on last night. You know, it's a contact sport, but some of it was unnecessary. And again, it points to the need, as I've said repeatedly on this podcast, to a professional panel of referees in the WSL. If the standards had increased, which we know it has, if the game is much quicker than it has been in the past, which it is, then we need referees that can and lines people. I mean, there was an incident last night where the lines person was about 20 yards behind an offside decision. That's not good enough in a professional league. We need officials that are doing the best, but need the support of being able to do it full time and get, you know, the proper evaluations and the proper referees assess the reports, so we can have a league that's brilliant football and a league that's got top quality officials at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I do love is a Chloe Kelly derby knee slide. And it's, you know, she turns up for these derbies recently, honestly. Absolutely outstanding. But obviously one of the disappointing points to come from last night was obviously Jill Ward going off quite early with that injury to her knee. How pleased were you with Angledale's influence on the game as well, Dave?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're lucky to have such a good player to be able to come on in that position, aren't we? And Philip is a very, very seasoned international footballer. So, you know, the fact that it was we were losing such a good player off the pitch, it's not like you're replacing him with a young, inexperienced player, you know. So I was quite confident that Philip would do a good job, and she did. So, yeah, I mean, Jill, obviously, We wish her well. We hope it's nothing. We're waiting to hear, aren't we? If it's anything serious, we hope it's not. I've looked at the video or that I've seen the incident. It's one of those where her leg sort of sticks in the turf, and they can be some of the worst. You just pray that it's nothing too bad. It must have been a bit of a blow to the team to have lost her so early as well. So, you know, it's not easy when you lose a player of that quality early in the game, because it can throw your game plan out a bit. So It wasn't easy for Philip to come in and just settle into it and for the team to take over, but they did. They managed, and Philip had a good game. As Paul said, I don't think anyone had a bad game last night, and they include Philip in that. You know, coming off the bench, coming cold into the game like that, it's not always easy. And she said, well, and I'm a big fan of Philip, but I think she's a great player anyway. You know, and she's unlucky to have not had a little bit more game time recently, but the team's been playing so well. So it's hard to,
Yeah,
you know, to see where she'd fit in.
it is difficult. And last night as well, attendance wise, 4,818, which is a record for a midweek tie at the Joy Stadium, which I think was felt throughout the stadium. There was a great atmosphere there last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've all been to County Cup games when it's been two people and a dog, haven't we? You know, it's not been a big turnout, you know, to say the least. So, I mean, yes, it is a derby, but, you know, we're consistently getting around that figure at the moment, and that's brilliant. You know, when I first started going to watch the women's team, only one side of the ground was open routinely. The other side was never open. Now both sides are open. Not only were both sides pretty full, but the two ends had a lot of standing room there as well. So it's absolutely brilliant that we're getting up to, you know, getting to that number. And that's a regular number now. And that I think shows the growth of the game at City. And you know, we were noting last night, you know, when you go to other grounds, there's not a lot going on around the game. You know, we've got all sorts of going on. You've got Moonchester, you've got flamethrowers going off, you've got a little girl hitting a blue button to start the game off. You've got a quiz at half time. You had Chinese dragons celebrating Chinese New Year. So I thought it was brilliant last night. I wasn't expecting anywhere near that number. So nearly 5,000 people and a similar number, well, a larger number at the Liverpool game. You know, that's where we're at now. You know, if we can hold on to those people, you know, there's every chance we can fill that ground in, week out. And that's exactly what we need to do. And
Yeah.
the players deserve it. You know, they're playing so well at the moment. They deserve a big crowd.
Without a doubt. Let's talk about Sunday then, because I suppose we've done it in the wrong order really, but it don't really matter. Sunday, WSL, another really good game at the Academy, the Joy Stadium, sorry. And a really good result against what we thought was perhaps going to be quite a tough test against Liverpool, but didn't really deliver, I'm gonna say it. I mean, obviously they've got the first goal, which you know was probably their only best opportunity of the game, which was well taken. But I never really thought, even when the goal happened, that we were ever gonna not find our way back into the game, Dave.
Well, yeah, I was a bit like you, Emma. I was a bit going to that game thinking it's going to be tough and hard. I've seen a little bit of Liverpool this season, and they definitely have improved on what they were. Matt Beard's got them playing to a plan and a standard. It's not always the best to watch, but they've been getting results. They've won at Arsenal, they won at United, you know, and they were in a much improved team. So I was expecting that. And my thought was keep it tight early on, and you know, we could edge it with our quality. It didn't work out that way because they scored the first goal. But I think it was pivotal that we got that early goal back straight away. A little bit of luck with it coming as an own goal. I mean, it was a fantastic ball into the box from Esme, who'd just come on the pitch for Kirsten, hadn't she? And Gemma Bonner sliced it into her own goal. But I think that was pivotal because it meant we never broke our stride. We didn't change our plan. We were instant, pretty much within about 2 or 3 minutes, level again at 1-1. And as you say, Emma, from that point on, I don't think Liverpool threatened. I thought we played very well, stuck to a plan. Bunny, yet again, outstanding, not just her goals, but her absolute all-round play. I think she terrorised them on Sunday. I don't think Liverpool knew what to do with her at all. It meant that Gareth could, in the second half, as we pushed ahead and ended up 4-1 up, start to make changes with last night in mind as well, because we knew we had two big games this week that we had to win both. Three big games, because we've got Tottenham coming up at weekend as well, and they're all just as important as the other. But you've got to, if you could get the luxury maybe of being as far ahead as we were on Sunday, you can maybe start to give some players minutes into the legs in the second half, and that's what Gareth did. And they all fitted in well, and it was a really, really good performance on Sunday. I thought we played really well. I really enjoyed the game, really enjoyed how we played, and I was pleasantly surprised about the actual score.
Bunny Shaw, obviously another hat trick ball. I mean, it's just getting ridiculous now. It's just,
Yeah.
do you know what I mean? We were kind of talking about this at the game, well, during the game, just how much of that sort of though we've had like out and out strikers, we've not had really anyone that's kind of delivered like Bunny has for a while, probably not since Keats really. Georgia, you know, obviously not even a striker, but up there in terms of breaking records and setting records for the club. And Bunny's just coming along and just smashing them all, Paul.
If we're not careful, Bunny Shaw, if she stays with us for, you know, she's hopefully a few more seasons, she's going to put the goal scoring record virtually out of reach for whoever's coming after her. You know, we're talking, you know, she's outstanding. And you made the really valid point there, Emma, about her all-around player. And she did it last night against United. She did it very much. You know, not only does she hold the ball up now, she's laying it off. Her passing's improved dramatically for me. When she's laying it off, her passing is crisper, it's sharper. And that's clearly the work that she do with Sean Gota. You know, that he was a great striker in his day, and he's passing on that knowledge, telling her, you know, showing her, if you hold it up, go at this point. If you hold it up, lay it off at this point. And she's such an intelligent player. You know, she's a big, big player, but she's got great feet. She's got great vision. And as Dave says, she terrorised Liverpool at the weekend. You know, they couldn't cope with her. You know, and she's at the level now where she's probably only Arsenal and Chelsea probably have got the sort of defence that can cope with Bunny for 90 minutes. Most of the other teams just don't know what to do with her because her movement's brilliant. She took her goals brilliant. That back heel was just delicious. It was just delicious and cheeky. But that's a player totally in form, totally confident. The official supporters club give any player that scores a hat trick or a ball as a memento. She's going to bankrupt this official supporters club if she can't go like this. Because they're going to run out of balls in the club shop. But I think what's really interesting is I watched the last two games. She gets kicked around the field like all good strikers do. And she got a tasty one last night in the derby. And she just gets up and gets on with it and limps on and then runs it off. It's not just about what the goals she scores. It's what she brings to the team. And I think this season, she's matured into a top quality, on the edge of world-class striker now. And we're so lucky to have her. I think we're so lucky to watch her. And I do think she's going to put that goal-scoring record. You know, she's going to set somebody a massive challenge, whoever comes after her, to say, well, can you get 150, 200 goals? And that's, I think, the way she's going to end up if she keeps going at this rate.
And it's also worth mentioning as well is that, you know, last night as well, you know, she's willing to get stuck in and do those sort of defending duties as well, which, you know, is quite a rarity. You know, she is willing to do what's required, and she understands and reads the game so well. Her technical ability is that she makes it look so easy at times because it's so effortless, but she knows where she needs to be. She knows where the back of the net is. And like you said, that back heel, you know, that vision to even find that out and to get that finish is outstanding. And she is such a joy to watch. And I think there are still people that will critique her. And I just think, what game are you watching? I don't understand it, because she is absolutely outstanding and she is silencing those that have doubted her.
She is. Her all-round play is fantastic, as you both said. I mean, there's times in both the games, we could just take this week's games alone, where she'll drop deep, she'll help out the defence, as you said, Emma. I've seen her do that. She'll drop deep, come for the ball. Her passing was excellent. It brought about the first goal last night. She was the one that played the ball out to Lauren, who got it in, and Chloe scored. So those three as a unit seem to be getting better and better as the more they play with each other as well, because they all know where each other are, and it's a great front three to have. Her all-round play is brilliant. And you're always going to get criticised. You know, people are always going to criticise players. But, I mean, to be criticising Bunny for what she's doing, I mean, the level of goal scoring, for her to be what? She's already our top WSL scorer of all time. I think I had a chat with Pete last night. I think she's only something like 4 or 5 goals behind Georgia for our all-time top scorer, you know, in everything. Now, to have done that in, what, 2.5 seasons? You know, that's amazing strike rate. You know, and when she first comes, she had to share her duties with Ellen White, because we still had Ellen at the club at the time as well. You know, she might well be already been past it if she'd have come after Ellen's time at the club. So, you know, I just don't know what... I wouldn't swap her for any striker in the league itself. I think she's up there as one of the best and numbers are proving that, and so is her all-round play. So yeah, I don't critique her at all. I think she's been brilliant, and long may it continue.
Utterly bizarre for anyone to criticize her. On for the let's start from the first thing. Her job is to score goals. She's doing that in big numbers. So even if that was all she was doing, even if she was just wandering around, in the last third of the pitch, waiting for the ball, she's doing her job, banging goals in. But more, as Dave says, more importantly, her overall play is so much better. She brings so much to the team. So I'm not sure if anyone's criticizing Bunny Shaw, then respectfully, you don't know anything about football, because it's ridiculous to suggest that she's not doing what she's being paid to do. One, to bang goals in, and two, to play with the two of the best wingers in the world. Our front three now are scary. And there was a moment in the Liverpool game where Chloe clipped the ball across to Bunny, and she didn't quite connect to it, and it went over the bar. And Chloe sort of gestures to her as if said, "I put it on a plate for you," jokingly laughing, going, that. But it's that they're doing that time and time again, and that's how you score goals. You get it out wide, you bang it into a great striker, things happen. And so for me, as Dave said, I wouldn't swap her for anything, because I think not only is she. I suspect she's another one of those that's a really good pro as well. Doesn't cause any trouble, listens to what's being t said to her, and acts on it. And you can see the improvement. She's getting the coaching that she needs, but more importantly, she's executing what she's being told. And there's every chance she's going to, have the golden boot at the end of the season, and that's what we bought her for, to score goals.
Yeah, in she's absolutely outstanding. It's worth also saying that if you do need a number for a storage facility for those balls, Bunny, just give us a shout. So yeah, I mean, fantastic. And again, that's only going to breed confidence, those kind of results as well. And I think with that, obviously looking ahead to now Spurs, how are you feeling about that? It's an away game as well, so obviously we've had the joy of playing at the Joy Stadium for the last couple of games, but yeah, back on the road and down to Spurs.
I it's tricky tie, though. It's a very tricky tie. Not only because it's away, but I think they're playing really well at the moment. I think Spurs are, they've weathered a bit of an early storm. They were struggling a bit. They've got some good players in that team. And Be I mean, Beth England, if she's fit, she's a quality striker. And they're well organised. They're a good team, well organised, and are starting to score goals. Grace Clinton is on loan from United has blossomed there. So she's a dangerous player in the England team. Clearly prefers the training she's getting down in London rather than what she's getting in Lee. And I think it's a tough tie. But again, I keep coming back to it. We've got a plan, we've got a settled team, and we should be able to beat them, even if it's away. But I'm not going to make any wild predictions about the Spurs game, because I do think it's a tough tie, and I think it'll be a there won't be many goals in it, but I think we'll just have the edge on them.
I mean, looking back at our last meeting though, Dave, obviously that was a bit of a drumming in terms of the result, 7-0 to City at home. I mean, that was a Tottenham that really, really didn't turn up that day, and nobody expected that, did they?
No, it's another one a bit like Liverpool, where I thought that might have been a lot closer on the day, because they're another team that's improved without a doubt on previous seasons. They've added quality players, and they've got a few decent loan players in as well, made them into a much better team. So 7-0 was a shock. Yeah, it was one of them days where everything went right for us and everything flew in. I agree with Paul. I think it's going to be a lot tighter on Sunday. I still fancy us to win, even if we have to make some enforced changes if we've got any injuries after last night. We've still got quality players that'll be in. We spoke about Philippa. We've still got people like Jess Park and Esme who didn't start last night, so we've got cover for any injuries. Or this period of time now is going to be very crucial. We've got some big league games coming up. We've got some big cup games. We've got the next round of the Conti Cup's going to be in less than 2 weeks, I believe. We've got the cup tie at Arsenal, and we've got to go to Chelsea soon as well. So this is now pivotal. This is going to shape our season the next six, 5 or 6 games or so. So it starts on Sunday. Every game is crucial. this game this week been a massive week. So far, it's gone well. But now, you know, we've got to keep it going and stick to the plan. As Paul said, stick to the plans that we've got. And I think we can go down there and win. But I think it will be tighter than certainly tighter than the game at home. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the momentum that we're building, Paul, I mean, as a team, you know, the performances are there. When, you know, we've needed it, we've been able to, you know, grind out some wins, some really solid performances as well, probably against the run of play sometimes. But, you know, how important is that for, like, team, the character of the team?
I think it's really important. I think it's about being consistent. It's about knowing that you've got a plan. And sometimes, like in the Spurs game, you can just cut loose and everything comes off and it's a 7-0. Or the Liverpool game where you think it's a tough game and, you know, they were well organised. Matt Beer's got them organised. But we just kept playing through the lines. We kept doing what we're doing. For me, it's about we're much more consistent this season. You know, we were a team in transition last season. You know, we had new players coming in, players leaving, a lot of players going, a lot of players coming in. It's now a much more settled 11 that we start off with and a much stronger bench. You know, we're bringing England international Esme Morgan on. We're bringing England international Jess Park on. We're bringing Ruby Mace on, who's probably going to be in the England team in the next couple of seasons. You know, we're bringing, last night we were able to bring on, you know, internationals right across the park. So not only have we got a good 11, we've got a good bench. And for me, we're much more consistent this season. And that means that if it's a dogfight, we can get in a dogfight, although we're not as comfortable in a dogfight as other teams. And if it's a free-flowing game, that's great for us because that's how we like to play football. So whichever way, you know, good teams, great teams, and, you know, Chelsea are probably the benchmark in the WSL. They're good at knowing when a dog fights on, and they know when is it. You know, when they come to us, when they play us, it's a free flowing end to end goal fest normally, a quality, you know, for 90 minutes. But they also can go to say Tottenham or Liverpool on a Tuesday night and grind the result out. Great teams do that, and that's where we're at. We're edging towards being a great team now, and that to me is about that consistency. And also being able to mix and match your game. Last night was a good example. The first half, it was a bit of a dogfight. We went in, regrouped. We were a bit sharper in the second half. And we played a different style of football. So good teams do that. And great teams do it season in, season out. And I think that's where we're getting towards now with some of the, you know, the way that we're playing football. It's a joy to watch, actually, at the moment. It's really nice football. And whilst we're getting the results, for me, first and foremost, as a fan, I want to watch good football. I don't want to watch, you know, lumping it. I want us to play the sort of football we're playing at the moment and do it week in, week out, which we do.
And in terms of building that team, we spoke at length about how obviously transitional we were last season, but now we're tying down players. And again, this week, the announcement that obviously Yui's extended as well with the club. I mean, Dave, how pleasing is that, that, you know, we're now tying down these players and really building on solid foundation of a team?
Yeah, it's crucial, Emma. It's your foundations. It's, you know, keeping... Nils Nilsson spoke about it when he first got appointed at the club, that his priority was to keep the quality players we've already got at the club, keep them there and build and add pieces of the jigsaw to that, rather than having to go out, as we had to do a couple of years ago, and almost buy a new team. We don't want that situation to arise again in the city. Doing the best to secure these long-term deals. Now, and you is the latest one. I mean, yet again, she was brilliant this week. She's been brilliant. And both, it was not even mentioned, you. And yet, you know, last night she was involved in everything we did in that midfield. Same on Sunday. She's a crucial cog to our machine. She's a consistency level. It's unreal. It's week in, week out. She is top, top notch. So she is a massive signing to keep her at the club because she's such a good footballer. She's great to watch. She's one of them players that you happily pay to watch you play football. She's just one of those players that you look forward to seeing week in, week out because you know you're going to get a performance out of her. So, yeah, to tie her down, I think it was it to 2027 is fantastic news because you don't get much longer than that in the women's game contracts these days. That seems to be quite a long one. So, you know, and add to that, to the other ones that were done previously this year. I know we've got a couple more that we'd like to get tied down soon as well. So, yeah, it's crucial because it builds consistency. These players seem to really love playing with each other and playing together, and seem to be growing as a team together. So that, you know, that it all adds into the same thing, and it can only really make us stronger, I think.
Yeah. And from a fan's perspective, I feel really excited at the moment. I'm excited by what I've seen. I'm excited by what I've heard from the club, and they've been very open, transparent, in communicating with the fans what the future looks like for this team, and building on successes that we've already had and getting back to that place again. Do you think that this season will deliver trophies this season? I mean, I know we spoke about it last week, but it just feels a lot differently, you know, when you're comparing it to previous seasons where we've not been that far off it. And I think it was really interesting this week. I don't know if you heard the City podcast with Nick Cushion and Gareth Taylor and KB reflecting on the last 10 years. It was really insightful. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit more shortly. But, you know, just hearing those sort of conversations, it does really drum up that excitement about what's hopefully to come for this team.
I think so, and I think the planning permission that's going in for the new facility is the key element to that. You want a facility where the best players in the world, if you're tapping them up to come and join Manchester City, one of the key things is the facilities. You don't want to be changing in a park cabin in the middle of nowhere. You want to be treated as a professional footballer, and that's what City have done. But the clubs, the MD of the women's section is saying, we want the best facilities in Europe and possibly the world, and that will attract the top quality players who want to get into the team. We're already attracting world class players, but if we want to step up, not only just to win trophies, but to consistently be challenging the Chelseas and the Arsenals in our own league, and let's be honest, looking to Europe as well, where we've not got a great record, if we're brutally honest with ourselves, to be able to go and challenge for the Champions League properly. Then the facilities need to be in place, the ethos needs to be in place, and tying players into, you know, decent contracts so they've got security as well, can only mean that instead of like last season we were sort of there or thereabouts, but it almost felt like we sort of would always fall over the line and win something. This year, if we win something, we'll win it because we're a good team. We'll win it because by right, we'll have done the job by getting to the FA Cup final or getting to the Conti Cup final or pushing Chelsea right down to the wire. Because it's going to go down the wire, the title this year. And I think it's going to end up being a two-horse race between us and Chelsea. And what will give Chelsea momentum is obviously Emma Hayes leaving. They'll want her to leave on a high. But I think we're well positioned. Only 3 points behind. Still got to play them. Still got to play some of the big teams as well, like Arsenal. We're in a good place, and we're there by on this season on merit, not by accident or other, by what's happening with other teams. It's because we've done a job and we're doing the job, and that I think is the difference this season. We're just in that place where I think we could win something by right rather than sort of somebody else giving it us.
Nick and Gareth spoke about obviously reflecting on the last 10 years, and Nick said they pretty much Gareth has got a much harder job at the moment, because when Nick was in charge, you know, it was all about winning your head-to-heads when you're looking at the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal, and that's where the league was won and lost. Whereas now you've got teams that have you know, clubs that have invested so much into their women's team and are really bridging that gap, where you look at sort of like United and Tottenham, West Ham, Liverpool, and all those sort of teams that are really, really moving up the table and pushing teams harder and getting results, you know, against your Chelsea's, your Liverpool's, Chelsea's and your Arsenal's, let's say. He was saying, you know, Gareth has got a much harder job basically when it comes down to looking at the league and those sort of games. I mean, it's definitely reflects in the performances and preparing for the games. But the quality, obviously, we spoke about how teams are bridging the gap, and we're seeing more of that investment come to fruition out on the pitch, and teams getting those performances and the growth that we spoke at length. But how interesting is it to obviously hear, you know, Nick and Gareth reflect on that time and that 10 years? Because obviously, it's been, you know, 10 years since the rebrand, the relaunch of Man City, women as it was then, 10 years ago. So how because you were there right at the very beginning, really. So how would you reflect on that time and the impact that the team has had and the successes that we've seen?
Yeah, well, I would advise anyone to listen to the City podcast if they haven't, because it is a good listen, and Nick and Gareth make some great points in it. Nick was there right from the start, so I really respect his views on it, and I think he's spot on. I think in his day, and this does not take anything away from Nick's achievements whatsoever, because it was what it was at the time. But in his day, I think the head-to-heads were the be-all and end-all. You know, the rest of the league wasn't really, there wasn't the quality in the so-called lower teams in the league than there is now. You're quite right, Emma. A lot of the other teams have improved, and the league is a lot more competitive now than it was 10 years ago. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Teams have invested. Teams have invested in facilities. Teams have invested in players. The loan system's a lot better, so that players that aren't playing at certain... I think if you look at Spurs, for instance, they've got Clinton from United on loan. And, by all accounts, she's been one of their better players this season, because she's getting game time at Spurs and playing well. So things like that have improved. They're just the overall quality. Now, that's good. It's good. We want a competitive league. We'd like to see a bigger league and competitive league, and we might well get that in the future. But the league has just naturally grown over 10 years, I think. It's just naturally progressed. The levels have all gone up, and it is probably harder to win it now than it was then. And I don't want to take that away from anyone who's won the league. Chelsea have won a lot of titles. Liverpool won two titles in the early days of the WSL, and City obviously won a title. So I don't want to take it away from them, because those titles still needed to be won. You still have to be the best team to win the titles. There's no two ways about that. But, it's interesting to see Nick's view on it, because he's also seen it from the very start, and now he sees and he considers that what Gareth's got now is harder league to deal with, and I think that's true, but I think it's true across the board, and it is a good thing, because it's a more competitive league. So that's the most important thing. I think that we want a competitive league. We want it to be entertaining. We want it to put bums on seats and people to come to games. And as Paul alluded to, this week we've had two really good crowds in the Academy Stadium, so it's working. People are enjoying the product, and that's important as well. So it's all high quality and really good. And I would advise anyone to have a listen to that podcast, and KB as well, some great input. It's well worth a listen.
Yeah, I mean, KB spoke about that role as well. She's just started earlier at the beginning of the year, and obviously building on the foundations that Jane Ludlow's left behind, but also implementing lessons she's took away from her career, things that obviously she's experienced within her time as a professional footballer that she doesn't want anybody else to experience in the future, and making a more holistic environment for those players coming through in terms of their well-being as well. I mean, how important is that, Paul?
I think it's critical. I mean, if you're going to build a world-class facility, and you've already got world-class facilities, you want to be able to say to the parents of young women coming through, aspiring to professional footballers, when you come here, we won't just be coaching these young women, we'll be making them better people. And that's what you see in the academy set up in the men's game. You know, it's all about their well-being. It's all about what sort of young men are they? And that's what we want in the women's academy, which is basically someone like Karen, who is a role model, intelligent role model, play at the highest level, to be able to say to those young women, you can do this. And if you don't quite make it, we'll make sure that we support you, that we won't just throw you out. We'll make sure you get somewhere else, which is what happens in the men's game. So I think it's really, I think the Karen Bardsley appointment is a really clever one. And I think it's something that we've been missing for the last few seasons, a strong academy. We should be able to attract the best young women players that are around, in my view, because the facilities are top-notch, the coaching's top-notch, all systems are in. We've invested in the women's game heavily, and young players should be able to benefit from that. I want to see the next Lauren Hemp coming through our academy. I want to see the next Georgia Stanway, who did come through our academy. You know, she came from Blackburn. You know, those players shouldn't necessarily, they might be better suited to be at Blackburn or somewhere else, but they might be better suited to come straight into the City setup at under 14 level, say, and work their way up into the first team. You know, we've had quite a few young players on the fringe of the first team. What I want Karen to develop is the pathway from academy to first team. make sure that's clear so that when players come in, they can say that player started in our academy, now they're in the first team. I don't think that's been quite so clear over the last few seasons. Now we've got that structure in place, that could only be a good thing. But one thing that did strike me, that what Karen was saying, is about what sort of person are you? What sort of person will you end up being? And that's brilliant, because that's good teams are about good characters. They're not the idiots and the show-offs and the big mouths. They're just the quiet players that get on with it. And when you see our team now, you know that that's what we've got, a series of really good professionals who get on and just do the job. So now I want to see somebody in our academy over the next 3 or 4 seasons starting off in our academy and hitting our first team. And I think that's the future, because we can keep importing talent, and we will do that because we need to bring in top players from around the world. But we also need to develop our own. And I think I'm very excited about what Karen's going to do, because I think she's exactly the right person to deliver us some world-class players in the future.
Yeah, and she spoke about creating like an environment to provide to offer the best opportunities and for those sort of players to achieve their fullest potential, basically. And I think it is important to remember that, you know, a player's journey does usually always start at the academy level, and there is a little bit the timeline from obviously player, you know, player to professional is and can be quite a long one, Dave.
Oh, it can, yeah, you're right. I mean, you can start, it's getting younger and younger now. They're identifying players as well. So the academy journey itself starting a lot younger than it used to. And then they'll analyse players, and some players may well be better staying in the academy system as they get older and growing together, and then possibly like training with the first team. Some players they might want to loan out on these dual contracts and let them get some game time at, say, in the Women's Championship, because that'll suit them better. And, you know, those decisions will be made as it goes along. And I think Karen and her team that they've put in place are ideal. I love the fact that it's a player that's in charge, someone who's done it, someone who's been there and done it, understands the club and also understands the game, you know, the intricacies of the game and what can and can't happen. You've got to look after those that don't make it, pause, right, as well, because, you know, they have structures in place for them to go into, you know, other routes if they don't make it as footballers, because you don't want to just toss kids aside just because they're not top level footballers, because that wouldn't be fair. Because some play, you know, this is what they don't know when they sign them on, is that a lot of players develop at different speeds as well, and decisions have to be made at different times of their development as to which way they're going to go. But I think it all sounds good. I think the model that the club have used with the men's academy seems to be absolutely spot on, because the amount of players around the leagues that City have developed through that aren't even at City, that there are other clubs. There's loads of them, and you think, well, it must, the academy system must be working there. So if they're following the blueprint with the women's academy that the men's academy is run at the CFA, I think it can only be a good thing, and it will produce top class footballers, and that's the ultimate aim of the whole program. But you know, it's about people as well, as Paul said, and that's the important part of it.
If you look at the men's academy, you know they're given, you know, and a lot of them go to St Bede's in Manchester, you know, and get their education alongside being footballers. So some of them don't might decide to leave football and go on and do A levels or a degree. Others who don't quite make it at City, as Dave says, are playing up in leagues all around Europe now. You know, the you know we're far. I think the academy in the men's side has raised something like 100 million quid. Plus, you know, in terms of sales, so these lads are doing a, you know, getting out and having a decent career at a decent level, and similarly with our academy set up for the women's, that's where we'll end up being. It's also worth remembering that, you know, Ruby Mace went out on loan, Ciara Keating went out on loan. That was a very successful loan. Jess Park went over to Everton and came back a much better player. You know, so there's lots more options now in the women's game, not just the academy set up, but you know, go, as Dave says, sending players out to the championship. You know, all of those loans have been brilliant for those players. They've come back better players. Ruby's a better player now. Obviously, Ciara's in the England team. Jess is in the England team. So they've been able to, you know, use the loan system quite cleverly. And if we have an academy that's really functioning well, I think championship sides, and you think of someone like Durham, for instance, who recently, they'd bite your hand off to have good academy players from our setup coming to join them, and get, you know, and it's a win-win. We get the experience that they need, our players need, and they get players in that bring quality and a bit, you know, bring some good coaching with them as well. So, I just think it's very exciting, the academy, because I don't think we've really had it in the way that we wanted it. I think the club have known that. They've now acted, and I think credit to them by appointing, you know, one of our greats. You know, let's be honest, Karen is one of our greats, but she's gone off and done an MBA. She's gone off and, you know, thought about it. She's done placements within the club. She's prepared for this, and now she can execute it. And I think it's very exciting.
So let's just talk quick about Julie Blackstad then, who departed the club earlier this week. How would you reflect on her time at City, Paul?
Well, let's be honest. She never let the team down when she appeared in the team. She's a very good player. She just wasn't getting the minutes. And when players are really good players, they want the minutes on the pitch. And I suspect that she had a conversation with the coaches, and they said, "Look, we can't guarantee you more minutes." And she's gone off back home and joined. I think they're the champions of Sweden. She's joined. She's a very good player. And she never let us down. So if anyone's sort of saying, "Oh, well, it's a bit of a waste of time of being here," well, you know, it's only a couple of seasons ago when we had a squad where Georgia Stanway was a standby goalkeeper. You need a big squad in the WSL now. Julie was part of a big squad. She's obviously decided that she wants minutes elsewhere. We should wish her all the best, because she strikes me, you know, every time you see her interviewed or you see her with other members of the squad, people like her. She's an intelligent young woman. She's a very good footballer. She's never let us down. And I say good luck to her. And, you know, people need to wise up that sometimes we'll have squad players that just think, "I want to go somewhere else and play 90 minutes rather than 15 minutes there, 20 minutes there, or not even getting on the bench these days." So, you know, good luck to her.
Yeah, and she went out on loan as well, didn't she, last season? And you know, we have to remember that she's still a very young player, and to come in at the club and you know, be within such a an elite club culture, you know, she will go away and have left City a better player, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, Julie's a really, really intelligent woman as well. I was at an event she did last year when she was at the club at the Football Museum, where her and Kirsten were guests, and they did a speech on the stage. And you know, she's got so much going on in her life. She's doing a degree and everything, as well as a full, you know, full-time footballer, so her life's full. But she spoke at the time about her love of playing for her country, playing for North. And I think a player of Julie's quality, you would need more minutes on the pitch to guarantee her international call-ups as well, which meant a lot to her. So I think that'll come into it as well. And as Paul said, they might well have had the conversation. They can't guarantee her any minutes at City because of the form of our front three and our wingers as well. You know, it's very hard to say where she would fit in. It might only just be coming off the bench here and there at the moment. Now, she might want to play more and more, especially, you know, this season with the tournaments coming up as well for Norway. So I get why she's done it, you know, because she wants more minutes. And as Paul said, we should thank her for her time at City. She's never let the club down. She's a great professional and a really good player and a good young player. And I think we'll see more of her in the future as well. I don't think this is the end of it for her. I think it's good. She's gone to a good team, champions of their country. So we might well cross paths again at some point. I wouldn't be surprised to see more of
Yeah.
Julia, see more of her on the international stage as well.
And for the time that she did play was, you know, she lit up the pitch. She was a great player as well. And like I said, for so young, I think she's only 22, got such a bright future ahead of her as well.
You can't find room for every single player, and you can only put 11 on the pitch. And the other ones that we spoke earlier about how well our team's playing at the moment, it's very hard to find. You know, you can make arguments before last night that Philippa could have been in and hadn't had the game time recently. Another great player who, you know, you would think would play more, but it's testament to how well the team's been playing. And it's a difficult balancing act. It does come back to maybe there's not enough room for rotation because there's not enough games as well. We've had this conversation before. If there was more games in the WSL, I think more, you know, there'd be more rotation involved. But there isn't. So it is what it is. It's difficult, really. It's a balancing act.
I think we'll end it on that this week. But just before we do go, obviously Conti Cup draw for the quarterfinals tomorrow. Shall we
You know what I'm
predict
going to
who
say?
we're going to? I know what you're going to say before you even said it. But shall we just ask anyway? Who would you like to get? Who do you think we're going to get? Dave, you go first.
Well, who I'd like to get is anyone at home, because I've got that many trips to London planned over the next few weeks. I don't want another one. Who I think we'll get? Probably Chelsea away. So yeah, but no, a home draw. Let's have a home draw. It'd make a nice change, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's last day. All the teams in it will be decent. But let's, as you said, Dave, let's have a home draw. Let's build on the crowds. Let's get a home draw, even if it's Chelsea, you know, at home. But, you know, we should have beat them in the home tie. It'd be a humdinger if that's the case. But I mean, I'd quite like to get Sunderland that are coming through because of the ineligible player. So it'd be nice to
Just to
get.
rub salt in the
Yeah,
let's get Sunderland at home, and that would be sort of supreme irony and make us all laugh, and big day for Sunderland, our place as well. So, yeah, let's any home tie, because I think our fans are sick of travelling. They always seem to get drawn away, and at some point, a ball's gonna have to be drawn out that is actually a home tie for us, and maybe this will be the one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch this one, because last time, I just wait until it gets announced this time. It was just obviously, oh, I can't believe it. Just our luck, isn't it? But you know, like we said last time, you know, if we draw these teams, we still have to win either way. So why not start early and let's just go for it.
Yeah, I quite agree, but I think with you, Emma, I don't think I'll bother watching this one. I'll just see who we get and keep your fingers crossed.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Paul, you won't be here next week, but have a lovely holiday.
Yeah, I'll be watching the games on my cruise around the Canary Islands. So,
Lovely.
you know, there is a football bar, so I'll be plonking myself in there and watching the games.
Sounds
Enjoy.
terrible, doesn't it? Sounds
He'll
terrible,
be there with his
that.
pina colada.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a good trip, mate.
Lovely time.
See you, Emma.
Cheers, Emma.
And that's it for this week's episode. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week as we welcome special guest Dan Pentland to the show, chief editor and football journalist for FAWSL full time. You can send in your questions to Dan through our socials at MCW Fancast. We'll be looking forward to recapping on Spurs away and bringing you all the latest news from the club, including our preview of our upcoming match against Leicester City at the Joy Stadium in the WSL. Have a great week, everyone.